today, we will be blessed by our special guest that we invite not too far, but he is a special one because he is a pastor of IFG Seattle. At the same time, he is also the head of the churches in the West Coast and also in Canada, West Coast America, USA, and Canada also. And he is kind enough to be willing to speak to us today and come. And he comes with his whole family. And let us warm welcome Pastor Irwan. And I'll let him introduce his lovely wife and three children.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you guys doing? I just want to say thank you so much again for Pastor Sugi, Chien Yen, and all of the leadership in IFG Pino for inviting us, for having me here. It is always a pleasure to come back to IFG Pino because, you guys are awesome, right? You belong to an awesome church, and I want you to know you are very blessed. How many of you are blessed with the praise and worship this morning or this afternoon? Wonderful. Thank you so much, worship team. That was really amazing. Amen. I came with my wife and three boys. I have three boys. My wife, Kelsey, Connor, Casey, and Caden. So it's a pleasure for our whole family to be here. Amen? I know that we are not strangers, but we are families. We even have our brothers from Toronto. Ryan is also here. It's amazing, from the east to the west, we are all families. Amen. I want to share with you, I believe, I've been praying for IFG Pino for this 26 years anniversary. Come on. How many of you know? That is wonderful. That is a big milestone, right? And you know that Jesus is faithful and Jesus has power over the church because a church can grow and can continue to succeed in the past 26 years. And that is truly a testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was praying for you this afternoon, I have a prophetic message for every individual in this room. Okay, I have a prophetic message for every individual in this room as well as the church as a whole. Would you just receive that? And would you just open up your heart and receive the message that I'm going to share today? I want to title the message. It's called Jesus is Lord of Breakthroughs. Can you say it together with me? Jesus is Lord of Breakthroughs. And I believe that you individually and we corporately is going to receive breakthroughs as we enter into 2020. Can you say amen? How many of you know that your final destiny or your final enemy is death? How many of you know that your final destiny or your final enemy is death? Statistically, I study statistics too, Harvard Research Center said that one out of one person will die in their entire life. Isn't that amazing? I'm kind of smart, right? Come on, UC Berkeley. Come on. I think that's a very, very good statistic. One out of one person will eventually die in their lifetime. And therefore, we all know that every one of us, whether you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus, you all will have the same ultimate destiny no matter what, which is death. Right? None of us can avoid that. However, this afternoon, I want to share with you that Jesus has conquered our final enemy, and its name is death. Come on. Jesus has conquered our final enemy because he laid down his life to die for you and for me. Therefore, today, he conquered death. He was standing on victory. You are standing on victory. Can you say amen? One day, a Texas millionaire, he's very wealthy. He has a big mansion with an Olympic-sized swimming pool, And he kind of challenges the single man in his city. He says, if any of the single men is bold and have guts enough to jump into my swimming pool, which is Olympic-sized, and also it has a crocodile, if you dare to jump into my swimming pool and you swim from one end to another, you can choose two of the prizes. Number one, you get a $10 million reward, or you can marry my beautiful daughter. You know, months after months, nobody dared to jump into that pool. So one day, the Texas millionaire was very frustrated. He held a party. You know, he held a party where every single man can come to the party. They have barbecue. You know, maybe they have dunk tank too, like today, you know. They have food. They have all sorts of stuff. And then the man says, if any of you single men have the guts to jump into my swimming pool that has the crocodile and swim from one end to the other end, you will either receive $10 million or my beautiful daughter. And nobody, for about a minute or two, very quiet, nobody jumped into the pool. And then suddenly, on the third minute, somebody was swimming so fast, and everybody like, whoa! And then they were cheering, you know, as this guy was swimming and being chased by the crocodile. And he made it to the end. And the Texas millionaire was amazed by this man. So he was shaking the hand of this man, you know. He was short of breath, you know. Like, wow, you are bold. You have the guts, you know. So what do you want for your reward? Do you want $10 million? And this man like, no, no. You know, like, oh, you want my beautiful daughter? And then this man, no. So what do you want? Who the hell pushed me into the pool? It's, you know, when you preach at 2:30 at 3 p.m., it's kind of tough, right? You know, so even though the jokes might not be related to the sermon, I think it's kind of funny, right, to open it that way. All right. Let's be serious, because I have a word. I have a word, okay? And I want to say this. He said, if you are waiting, and maybe you can help me do the thing. I think it will be good. If you are waiting for your breakthrough, I have good news for you. In Jesus, your breakthrough is coming. Can you say amen? I don't know how many of you in this room, and I believe it, because when I prayed for this church and this community, I believe that this message is for you. Because there are a number of you in this room, you are waiting for your breakthrough, and your breakthrough has been delayed. Come on. But I want to have a good news for you. I'm going to tell you good news. That your breakthrough is coming. Okay? Why? Because Jesus has already conquered our final enemy. Therefore, you are standing on victory, and therefore your breakthrough is coming. The word breakthrough is first used in military terms. You know, we are celebrating the Veterans Day. I really want to honor those veterans during this weekend. But this, yeah, come on. We have one. Who is the veteran? Who is the veteran? Would you just maybe stand if you are a veteran? Maybe he's not in this room yet, but I really want to honor veterans this weekend. For their services for this country. You know, the word breakthrough was first used as a military term to signify an offensive thrust. An offensive thrust past the defensive lines of war. The word breakthrough was used there. This means that before a breakthrough, there is always a strong defensive opposition. Come on. Are you listening? Right? Before a breakthrough is happening, we have to trust past a strong defensive line of defense, right? And therefore, some of you are waiting for your breakthrough, and your breakthrough is not yet here, because you need to trust past whatever that is against you, right? So that is breakthrough. Breakthrough delayed is not God's denial. Some of us are discouraged maybe because you have been praying, you have been seeking for breakthrough. Maybe we as a church, we have been praying for some sort of breakthrough and we have not received that breakthrough. Listen, your breakthrough delayed is not God's denial, right? Breakthrough delayed is not God's denial. It's not equal to God's denial. If you are praying for a breakthrough and you are not seeing it yet, don't give up. Are you listening? Don't give up. Because opposition precedes breakthrough. Come on. Opposition precedes breakthrough. In Daniel, in the book of Daniel, if you have your Bible, we're going to stay in Daniel chapter 10 and 1 Chronicles chapter 14. You can thumb to your Bible app if you have your Bible app with you. And Daniel was praying. He was praying and he was asking God for a breakthrough. And listen to this. This is a very kind of fascinating illustration of vision from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. It says this: Daniel had a vision of an angel who said, "Daniel, don't be afraid." Maybe you can substitute the word Daniel with your name. Yeah, maybe Michelle, don't be afraid, right? Josh, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding. I have come in answer to your prayer. The devil, the angel prince of the kingdom of Persia, opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, the archangel Michael, the general Michael, one of the chief angels, came to help me because I've been left there alone in Persia. God heard your prayer the day that you said your prayer. However, your breakthrough precedes, opposition precedes breakthrough. How many of you know? The angels of the Lord has come to your rescue, but they are principalities. Principalities, how many of you understand what is principalities? For our battle does not belong to flesh and blood, but our battle belongs to the principalities. There are principalities around us that are covering you from receiving your breakthrough. So Daniel understood. Daniel saw the vision. He was discouraged at first, but the angel encouraged Daniel. He said, "You know what, Daniel? I have heard. God has heard your prayer. We have sent help, but the prince of Persia, which is the principalities, are opposing us. We have a battle that needs to be won. And I was there alone." And he called 911. "Hello, God. I need help here." And then God says, "Michael, go." You know, how many of you have a name friend named Michael? Right? He said, "Michael, come and help me." So Michael is the archangel of God. There are three archangels of God, right? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, right? And we don't want to talk about Lucifer this afternoon because we are celebrating. Yeah, yeah, we don't need to celebrate. But Archangel Michael came to the rescue and Daniel got his breakthrough. Our God is a Lord of breakthrough. God is first revealed in the Bible as the Lord of breakthrough in the military context involving King David. I love the story of King David. Right, if you are with me, you stay with 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Verse 8 to 17, and I want to just maybe do a little bit of a Bible study so that you can kind of see where the breakthrough is coming. There is opposition that is defending that breakthrough, okay? First Chronicles 14, verse 8 to 17. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. He says, "When the Philistine heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they mobilized all their forces." Mobilize all of their forces. That means there is a defense that are protecting whatever David wants to break through. Are you listening, right? They mobilize all their forces to capture David. But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistine arrived and made raid in the valley of Rephaim. You guys are stuck here. Okay, let me see if I can get this going. Because sounds good, huh? Quite animated. All right. Listen, guys. How many of you have fear in your life? How many of you have fear in your life? How many of you have opposition in your life? You know, the best way to overcome your opposition and your fear and receiving big breakthrough is to meet them. David knew that opposition is coming, and David marched to meet with the opposition. You got to face your fear. You got to face your opposition, because otherwise you will never experience that trespass of that defense line. Okay, let's continue reading. The Philistine arrived and made raid in the valley of Rephaim. It's funny because the word valley, it also means low point in life. It also means in your fearful times. It also means in your weaknesses. It also means in your aloneness. How many of you like to be alone? You know, a lot of millennials, they like to be alone. And then in Seattle, we call those people emo. How many emos in this place? Yeah? You know, they like to be alone, Pastor. They bring their guitar, and then they go to the mountains, and then they sing sad song. Right? And then they thought that like by singing sad songs by themselves in the valley or in the mountains with their guitar that they can receive their breakthrough. No, because attack happens in the valley. Attack happens when you are alone. Attacks happen when you are in your lowly places. Attack happen when you are weak. Therefore, I tell you, don't be alone. How many of you likes to be alone? I hate to be alone. You can ask my wife. She knows. I hate to be alone. Why? Because when I'm alone, the valley of Rephaim, that's when the Philistine, the giants, is coming. Right? So we don't want to be alone. We don't want to stay in the valley. Remember David in Psalm 23? He said, as I walk through the valley of death, the key word is walk through. Don't stay in the valley of death. Walk through the valley of death, okay? So don't stay in the valley. But David was in the valley. Tauren Wells, how many of you know Tauren Wells? You know, it's a very beautiful song. He wrote this song. I always confuse. Tauren is a man or a woman? I'm confused, you know. He wrote this. On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who sets me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain aft, didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley end, no, I am not alone. You are God of the valleys and you are God of the hills. How many of you know that when you have your successes in the mountaintop, God is the God of the mountains? When you're walking in the valley, God is a God of valleys. And therefore, don't give up. Okay, don't give up. So, go back to David. Go back. So, David asked God. The key word is ask God. When you are praying for breakthrough, when you are asking for wisdom, ask God. David made a strategic decision before he proceeded with his attack. He asked God. Yesterday, when we had the leadership training, we talked about prayer. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. How many of you know? How many of you likes to pray? You lie. Nobody likes to pray, right? If you can choose between sitting on the beach and drinking your Mai Tai or in prayer, most people will go to the beach and drink Mai Tai, right? But prayer is a spiritual discipline. Right? Prayer is a spiritual discipline. You want to receive breakthrough, you got to ask God in your prayers. Stay in your prayers. And he asked, should I go out to fight the Philistine? Will you hand them over to me? And the other keyword is, the Lord replied. Can you say, the Lord replied? Our God is faithful and he will answer your prayer. Okay, the Lord replied. He said, yes. Go ahead, and I will hand them over to you. Who will hand them over your enemy to you? God, the Lord, right? God is a God of victories. He is the Lord of breakthroughs. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you the victory. He will hand them over to you. Continue. So David and his troops went up to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. And when you are back to the top of the mountain and you have your victory, where do you go? Here's the common theme, right? There are two types of people that I observe in my 20-something years of ministry. Those that have successes, they forgot about God. Those that have failures, they blame God. So God never wins. When you're at the mountain, you forgot about him. When you're at the valley, you blame him. So my suggestion, see, where's the baby that's laughing? My suggestion is when you have received your victory, let's declare it together. God did it. Can we say it together? God did it. Yes, amen. That's why we sing that song just now. How wonderful you are, God. Or Waymaker, right? A promise keeper. He did it. And when we receive successes and victory, we come back together in this place and we claim and we proclaim that God did it. We receive this victory because He is faithful. He is awesome. God did it. Different from other kings. When other kings get received victory, they said, I did it. And therefore, the spoils are mine. But when David received victory, he says, God did it. And he deserved all of the glory. Continue. And then this is the statement. He used me to burst through. You see that word, burst through? That is breakthrough. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood, so that they named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who burst through. The word burst through is paratz in Hebrew 6555, and it also means breakthrough. Breakthrough. Our Lord is a Lord of breakthrough. How many of you want to receive breakthrough? If you want to receive breakthrough, let's proclaim it that God, Jesus, is our Lord of breakthrough. Come on. Come on. Yeah? You know, it's hard to preach to millennials. I'm serious. It's hard to preach to millennials. And our church mainly are millennials, you know. A lot of them are millennials. It's hard to preach millennials because when I talk about valleys, they're like, I don't have valleys. When we talk about financial difficulties, I have no clue what you're talking about. What is financial difficulties? When I tell them, you got to save money. Why? Because the money always flow. Yeah. You know, one time I overheard one of our millennial students. He said, my dad, you know, gave me a budget. I hate my dad. He is so stingy. He gave me only $10,000 for discretionary spending every year. No, every month. Oh, your dad is very stingy indeed. Yeah. But listen, even if you do not need breakthrough today, believe me, one day in your life, you will need breakthrough in your life. One day in your life, you will need to cry out to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I ask of you, and you did it for me. Amen? So just listen, okay? If it doesn't apply to you today, it might apply to you some other day. Verse 13, but after a while, the Philistine returned and raided in the valley again. Come on, guys. Don't be alone anymore. Because in the valley, the giant always keep coming to attack. You know, the Philistine coming to attack David, always in the valley. Life challenges in the valley. Okay? But God is a God of valleys. Okay, God is a God of valley. If you are in the valley at this moment, you have challenges in your life. Maybe some of you, you know, are losing sleep in your life. How many of you are having difficulty sleeping? I want to pray for those people who have difficulty sleeping at night because you have a restless mind, you have anxiety, you have stress. Yeah, you know, if you need prayer, let me know. I want to pray. Because I believe that there are a couple people in this room that you are losing sleep. You know, just to sidetrack a little bit. You know, when Jesus was with the disciples, okay? When Jesus was in the disciples on the boat. And when the storm of life comes, come on. Are you listening? When the storm of life comes, Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples were very mad at Jesus because like, hey, Jesus, don't you care? We are in the midst of the storm. Why are you sleeping? But don't you know that those that can sleep in their storm can master over their storm? Therefore, Jesus can sleep in the storm. Because why? Because he has confidence. He knows that he can speak to the storm and the raging sea will be still. That's why a lot of us, when we are in the raging sea of our lives, when we are facing challenges in our lives, the first thing that we lose is our sleep. So today, I want you to know that our God is a God of the valley. Amen? You can rest, you can sleep, and let God deal with your enemy. Continue, okay? Verse 14. And once again, David asked God. David did not use the previous method, right? David said, you know what? Last time I faced them head on. This strategy works for me last time. I'm going to use the same strategy and keep hitting the enemy head on. No. Different season have different strategy. Different season of your life have different strategy. You know, from my wife and I, we are in the season of raising kids, teenage kids, preteen kids. Different strategy. When we were still dating without kids, different strategy. When you are still single, different strategy. When your children are getting out of the home and you are an empty nester, different strategy. When you have grandchildren, different strategy. Every season, we got to ask our God a different strategy. So he asked God, God, what to do? And then God replied, I know what you're thinking. I know that you're going to use that same strategy. I mean, I'm going to tell you, do not attack them straight on. How many of you are predictable? Right? You do the same thing over and over again and wishing that the outcome is different. That's stupid, man. That's crazy, right? Ask God again. And God says, don't do straight on. God replied, he said, instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. God has different strategy. God can give you wisdom in different seasons of your life. All you got to do is ask, and God will answer. Amen. You guys are listening. Good. And then verse 15, he said, when you hear a sound like a marching feet in the top of the poplar tree, go out and attack. God give the strategy. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. Who is moving ahead of you? God is moving ahead of you. Who is moving ahead of you? No, I'm asking this row. This side is overachiever. They keep answering. Very good. I love this side. I love this side. But who is moving ahead of you? God, amen. Yeah. Because the answer always comes from here. So I'm asking this side now, okay? Let's continue. Verse 16. So David did what God commanded. How many of you know that sometimes God's answer to our question might not be to your liking? Right? Many of us always feel comfortable with what we had experienced before. I said, God, I did it straight on last time. I got the victory. I won. I got what I wanted. Why can't I go straight on? Why do I have to circle and have to march, have to go up to the top of the poplar tree? Why is it so troublesome? I don't want to do your will. I want to do according to my experiences. It doesn't work that way, right? If you want God to be ahead of you, you got to listen to what he commanded you. So David did what God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine again, army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Wider territories. How many of you know when God takes you from one level to another level of your life, your territories and your victories and your breakthrough is in the wider. It gets wider and wider. Your territories get bigger and bigger, right? So listen, ask. God replied. God gives the strategy. God moves ahead of you. And all you got to do is do what he commanded you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Okay? You know, a few years ago, we had these family care groups. And then one day, one of our care group friends invited another friend to come to our care groups. And I've never met this lady for 15, 20 years. You know, we've seen each other in Seattle before, but I've not seen her for many, many years. And then suddenly she came. Okay, and then I said, oh, you know what? As a friendly care group people, you know, we always welcome them. We're like, hey, how are you doing? And then she's like, oh, not good. Oh. Okay, no basa-basi, you know. It's like, at least if I ask you, how are you? Just say, good lah, you know. It's easier that way, right? Yeah, but he said, not good. Oh, what happened? He said, oh, actually, Pastor, I was just diagnosed with leukemia cancer stage 4. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I really wish you the best, but leukemia stage 4. And then suddenly, this guy behind me, which is one of our care group, Pastor, I thought you've been preaching about God winning the victory. That God is a God of the valley. God can heal the sick. Oh, shut up. I say, why don't you pray over her and she will be healed? Yeah, when I preach that, I actually don't believe it. I only can heal the flu and the cough. Not leukemia stage 4, you know. But you know, kind of ego, right? You know, kind of don't want to be embarrassed. So I said, okay, sit. Let's pray. Everybody pray. So we pray over her. Okay, we pray over her. And this is what, maybe 3 years already? Right, 3 years now? I think it's 3 years. She is now a part of our church member. She was completely healed of leukemia stage 4 cancer. Yeah. And it's not within our strength and our idea. It is the Lord that moves ahead of us. It is the Lord that commanded. It is the Lord that bring that healing and that breakthrough and that miracle. It is the Lord. All we got to do is receive, listen, and do according to what He had commanded, right? Look at me. This is not the face that can heal a leukemia cancer. Believe me. You know, this many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, I was a pastor. When I was 25 years old, I was sent to be a pastor of this church. I shared with you guys yesterday, right? Yeah, and this church, I was 25 years old. I was single, no girlfriend yet at that time, you know. But I was ministering in a church that maybe 75% of them are above 50. So you can imagine the oxymoron of God, right? How many of you know God has a sense of humor? You know, a church of about 100 people, no pastor, and then they send this guy to go to be a pastor of 100 people church that are majority of them are above 50. Some of them have grandchildren. And then here's the pastor, 25 years old, no clue of married life, having to deal with married people, not only having to deal with married people, having to deal with their grandchildren. I don't even have girlfriend. And now I have to advise them about how to deal with their grandchildren. Okay, one day after church, one of our congregation said, Pastor, we need help. What do you need help? My friend is sick, and I told them that my pastor can come to her house to pray for her. I said, who is the pastor that you promised? I didn't say I want to go and pray for people to be healed. I said, oh no, I'm sorry. You know, we have another pastor, but he wasn't available at that time, so I'm the only one left. I said, why don't you wait for him to pray? Said, oh, no, because this is the only Sunday she is available and she already wait for you. I said, oh, okay, sure. So I went with him, you know, thinking in my mind, I'm like, this is crazy. I'm 25 years old. I'm a new pastor. And I don't know what this lady has. You know, why does she need me to go to her place to pray? But anyway, it's okay. If I pray and she die, it's okay. It's just between me and him, right? It's okay, you know. It's easier to murder one person than, you know, many other people, right? When I get there, so I asked him, so what's the issue? What does she have? Oh, she has a brain cancer stage 4. She lost her hair. The chemotherapy doesn't work. The doctor is, you know, this is the end of her her cycle of chemotherapy. I'm like, oh, why didn't you tell me earlier? I think this is for Benny Hinn. This is not for me. Yeah. This is, you know, this needs a general. This is not a sergeant, you know. But he said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I already promised. I already texted her. We're on the way. So coming. It's okay. In my mind, between me and him, if she doesn't get well, she died. It's okay. Just me and him. By the time I arrive at her home, there are maybe 30, 40 people watching this. Because they said, like, miracle is coming. I'm like, oh, dude, this is bad, you know. This is bad. So I was looking around the room. I said, which one is the lady that is sick? Because I don't see anybody that's losing their hair. It turns out that this lady was sitting and she was wearing her wig, you know, listening to, getting ready for me to come. So I told her, so are you okay? She said, oh, Pastor, you know what? I'm done with my chemo. The doctor said it's not working. I'm dying, basically. And he told me that your God can heal me. And you can bring miracle. Pray for me. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, he lied. I don't think I can pray for you and you get healed. I'm sorry. But I'm too embarrassed to say that. I'm too scared. 25 years old. What do you expect, right? So I prayed over her. I quickly prayed. And they offered me to have lunch there. I said, oh, no lunch. Let's get me out of here as fast as possible before everybody remember this face. So I left. I quickly left without having food. Believe me. If I refuse food, it must be a very, very good reason for me to refuse food. So I refused food. I left. That was in July, June or July. In December, when during Christmas party, how many of you know that I love Jesus? I love Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. You know, whenever Jesus is at the party, he is always at the food table. Hallelujah. How many of you know? Oh yeah, you got to ask my congregation in Seattle. If there are a big party to find a pastor, just go to the food table. I'm always very close to the food table because I want to be like Jesus. Right? So I was at the food table getting food, and then suddenly this lady, she's like, "Pastor, you remember me?" I'm like, "Oh, in my mind, I don't remember because she looks different." I say, "It's me, Nanette." I don't know if this is in my mind or I say it out like, "Oh, you are alive." I'm like, I'm surprised. And she's like, "You know what, Pastor? After you came to pray for me in that July month or in the summer month, I went back to the doctor and the doctor couldn't find the cancer. It makes such a fuss in the whole medical community because I was, you know, the doctor said, I'm done. There's no more medical intervention for her. She just need to wait for her to die." And then suddenly they couldn't find the trace of cancer. I'm like, "Oh, really?" I say, "Pastor, touch. This is my real hair now." I said, "It's okay. I trust you. I believe you. I believe you. I can't believe myself." But the Lord moves ahead of us. Come on. Come on. It doesn't matter. 25 years old, single, no clueless pastor, or a student from UC Berkeley. When the Lord commanded you to bring healing and miracles and power and victory into your community, you got to go. Come on. You got to go. Right? How many of you know that there are many, many people in needs, even in our campuses here in America? Many. Yesterday I shared a number of them. There are girls that are in depression. There are guys that are in depression. There's so many people in need. And you might be the answer for their prayer. Come on. Come on. Let's continue, okay? I'm almost done. So David's fame spread everywhere. And who caused it? The Lord cause all the nations to fear David. How many of you know, as children of God, as children of God, as the son and daughter of God, God's favor is upon you. When God's favor is upon you, you will be distinguished among men in different nations. Come on, you are the one. Believe it. I know when you look at the mirror, you might not believe it, but believe it. Because God caused nations to fear those who fear the Lord. Amen? I'm almost done. Hold on. The bigger the breakthrough, the bigger the battle we encounter. Because that's the strategy of the enemy, right? How many of you have watched those military movies or war movie? The higher the value of things that they need to protect, they put the strongest defense into that valuable items, right? And therefore, we need to attack even stronger. We need to oppose it even stronger. The bigger the breakthrough, the bigger the battle we encounter. Number one, I have two things to say. Number one, breakthrough is coming when you humbly come in prayers. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, he says, God has heard your prayer ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding. I've come in answer to your prayers. God is in the business of answering prayers. Okay, I want to encourage you. I mean, this church have prayer meeting. Come together in prayer. Because in prayer, we are going to move nations. Come on. In prayer, we are going to move lives and souls. So come, join the pastors and the leaders in prayer. You don't need to be good in prayer. Come on. You don't need to go to school to pray. Right? You just come. By you being present is enough to move the mountains. Believe me. Okay, so come. Number two, breakthrough requires a battle. But the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember, David says, God did it. God did it. Don't give up. Don't make yourself so smart that you want to figure things out. No, God did it. The breakthrough requires a battle, and the battle belongs to the Lord. But you belong to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. But you belong to God. Can you say, I belong to God? Good for you. I belong to God. Yeah. Don't lose to this group, okay? You have already won a victory. Come on. I already won a victory. Hey, come on. They are louder now, guys. You guys slacking there, huh? Because the spirit that lives in me is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Come on. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Come on. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I'm going to close with one other testimony, okay? This is when I was young again, when I was still in school. See, getting back and back, you know. I was still maybe 19, 20 years old. I was part of IFJF Eugene, Oregon. How many of you know Eugene, Oregon, right? This University of Oregon is there. I was a part of the church there. I was still very young, 19 years old. I have a friend who wants to receive Jesus. I have a good friend who wants to receive Jesus. But the funny thing about our church in Eugene is we don't have a pastor. The church has no pastor. The pastor is about 8 hours away in Vancouver, BC. That's our pastor in Vancouver, 8 hours away. So how? This guy wants to receive Jesus. He wants to be baptized. We don't want to beat the momentum. We want him to be baptized. So we have to drive 8 hours to Vancouver from Eugene. So we drove. How many of you know the power of young? Come on, college kids. That's the beauty about college kids. We do first before we think. So we went. We drove to Seattle. From Eugene to Seattle is about 5 hours. We drove. And then we stopped by downtown Seattle because we need a visa to get into Vancouver. And then with all of our enthusiasm, it was Canada Day. The embassy was closed. As a young college student, what do I do? Damn it. I need to drive back, you know. But I report, you know, I know it will reveal my age, but please don't judge. So I pick up the public phone. To those of you who doesn't know what is a public phone, it's a square booth that looks like a fridge. You open the door and you pick up the handle and you put quarters into this machine that looks rectangular. You know, you put quarters and then you dial the number and then you call. Okay, so I call my pastor in Vancouver. I say, Om, uncle, I can't get in. He said, why? You know, if you guys know Om Yuyun, you know, Pastor Yuyun, he's a military man. He's a Marine. So when he talks like that. Why? Because the embassy is closed. Why? Because it's Canada Day. He said, don't you have faith? I do. Don't you have faith? I do. Don't you have faith? So I'm in the middle of the downtown. I'm like so upset. You know, 19-year-old college kid like, yeah, I do. And then he said, the spirit in you is greater than that in the world. He that is in you is greater than that is in the world. So what is stopping you? A visa? He said, no. Visa is smaller than God. Jesus is bigger. Huh? So what's going on? He said, now drive to Vancouver. And I said, okay. Come on, college kid. Isn't that beautiful? We do first before we think. So we drove. There's 2 more hours drive from downtown Seattle to the border. And along the way, 3 of us, we do chanting. He that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He that is in us is greater. Oh, I feel pity for you, man. He that is in us. Because if we got deported, what should I tell his dad? Oh, yeah, he wants to be baptized, but we were stupid enough to violate the international law and get into Canada without visa. And now your son, instead of receiving Jesus and being baptized, here you are, back in Indonesia. Good luck, guys. So we arrived. We were so scared, guys. We were so scared. We were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And we keep chanting like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He that is in us is greater than he that, you know. And then we arrive, and then we gave the passport. I said, ma'am, before you open the passport, we have to say one thing. He said, we need to get to church in Vancouver, BC, but we don't have visa. But we need to get to church today. So they were confused, like, what's happening? Are you the speaker of a church? No. Are you the pastor? No. Then what are you? I said, we need to get to the church today, but we have no visa. Please, we need to get. She was confused. And she paused for a few minutes, and my friend on the passenger, he that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He that is in us is in the world, you know. And then suddenly, did you bring any fruits? No. Any produce, any meat? No. Any gifts? No. Any weapons? No. Welcome to Canada. God bless you. We made it in. We made it in. And my friend's name is Wadi Kosasi. Okay, I'm not telling you a lie. You can find him on Facebook and you can ask him this story. Okay, he knows it. Om Yuyun also knows it. You can ask them. It is a miracle. God can do miracle among the 19 years old. Come on. Come on. He can do miracle for you too. Even you are 19 years old. So, let's declare it that Jesus is Lord of breakthrough. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's declare it. Let's declare it. I think that song is good, yeah, the one that Pastor Sugi was singing just now. How wonderful. I want to pray. You know, as we sing this song, I want your heart to be touched by the Lord. Listen, listen. If you have been sleeping, all you have to remember is one thing. Okay, I always say this in our church. If you have been sleeping over the past 25 minutes, welcome home. Welcome back. I just want you to remember one thing. One thing only. Come on. You guys smart enough, right? Just one thing only that I need you to remember. Jesus. What is the one thing? Jesus. Just remember that, okay? Keep it in your pocket. Just remember that. Because one day when you need breakthrough, one day when you are in the valley and you are attacked, all you got to do is take that name out of your pocket and declare it, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want to pray to those of you who have not received Jesus as Lord over your life. You got to receive Jesus first, right? Before you declare that Jesus is Lord of breakthrough. Kind of funny, right? If you don't even receive it. So I want to pray if you have not received Jesus, but today, so you know what? Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. As we sing this song later on, I will give you the opportunity to lift up your hands. We pray together with you. Okay. And I promise you, you will not be dunk in the water today if you receive Jesus. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because Jesus loves you that much. Come on. Jesus loves you that much. Jesus loves you that much. Number two, I want to pray for those of you who need breakthrough. You have lost sleep in your life. Maybe last night you couldn't sleep. Maybe it's been 2 weeks you couldn't sleep. I want to pray for breakthrough over your lives too. And to those of you who need breakthrough, we're going to join together and pray. Okay? Because the presence of God in this place, in the presence of God, there is fullness of life. Come on. Come on. Let's sing this song. And I want you to have the opportunity to just let your heart be stirred. Let your heart be stirred, okay? Let's dedicate. Let's declare. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.